Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, it is a delight to be here today. The text that I've chosen is from Psalm 119. You will notice that every verse except one in the whole psalm uses words which describe the Bible or the law, testimonies, statutes, judgments, word. All those beautiful words are found in nearly every verse. And so here too, verse 17, 18, and 19, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. And then open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. It's because of that 19th verse that I've entitled this sermon, A Pilgrim's Prayer. These three verses are a prayer, and verse 19 says, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim. And so this sermon is about a pilgrim's prayer. These are petitions of a pilgrim. They're strangers in the earth. We're all strangers here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me with heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're strangers here. And so these three verses are asking for three things. The first one, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. I'm asking for life, life. The second is, open my eyes that I may see. I'm asking for truth. The third is, I'm a stranger, so I'm asking for the way. Now, do you know how those petitions are answered? Each one of those petitions is answered by our Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. So the order of the 119th Psalm, verses 17, 18, and 19 is, first, life, then truth, then way. That's the order of the psalmist. So we'll follow the order of the psalmist. But the answer of the psalmist's prayer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. And so the first one is, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep your word. So he's asking for life. Life is a wonderful blessing. We take it so for granted. When a child is born and they begin to breathe and cry, and we say they have life, but they had life before then. They had life from the moment of conception. The U.S. Constitution says, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are endowed by our Creator with life. That life is a gift of God. No one can create life but God Himself. The Nicene Creed talks about the Holy Spirit. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. So life is a gift of God. And it may not be taken except by God Himself. Only He may take life. And the government may also, because they've been given the sword. But life is a wonderful gift of God. And so the psalmist says, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may have life. This coming Thursday, we're going to have Thanksgiving Day. 9:30, we'll be here to worship the Lord. Why? Because He has dealt bountifully with us. The Lord has dealt bountifully with us. He is full of mercy. In Psalm 116, That psalm is so beautiful. I love the Lord, for he hath heard my voice, my cries for mercy. And then that psalmist says in the middle of that psalm, the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. And then he gives us three wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. He has delivered my soul from death. He has delivered my eyes from tears. He has delivered my feet from falling. There you have, he gives us life. He delivers our soul from death. We have life, that spiritual life, but it's also physical life. All life is a gift of God. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live, says the psalmist. And he does, God is copious in his gifts. He is overflowing in his goodness. The Belgic Confession, in the beautiful first article of the Belgic Confession, describes who God is. It's a beautiful, beautiful confession. And it was written, you know, by Guido de Bray in 1561. It was the first of the great Reformed confessions. And he wrote that confession as, in a way, an apology. It was not saying, I'm sorry, but it was explaining to the King of Spain, who was persecuting Christians in the Low Countries of Belgium, the Netherlands. He was persecuting them. If they didn't become part of the Catholic Church, they would be subject to death. And so Guido, who's a minister there, he writes down what they believe. And that's what we have as a Belgic Confession. And it covers all of the beautiful doctrines of the Bible. But the very first article deals with who God is. And he writes that God is supreme, eternal, infinite. And then he concludes with this beautiful, beautiful phrase. And our God is the overflowing fountain of all good. That's exactly what the psalmist is saying. Deal bountifully with me according to your word. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. And so Guido de Bray took that, what he wrote, and he put it into, he wound it up, put a string around it, and threw it over the palace wall. And someone gave it to the king. And the king said, he read it, and he said, who is this? Who is this man? Oh, he's a pastor in the Low Countries. I want to meet him. And so they introduced Guido, Reverend Guido de Bray, to the king of Spain. And he said, did you write this? He said, yes, I did. And you know, it says in there, as you no doubt know, how that Guido wrote and said, I am writing this to tell you that we are not revolutionaries. We are not guerrillas. We are not disobedient to the king. We will be obedient to all the laws and rules of the king of Spain. We are good citizens, but with regard to the truth of this confession, We will not give that up. We will give our bodies to flames, our tongues to knives, and our mouths to gags rather than deny what's in this confession. And the king said, all right. And so the king ordered him to be hung. He was hung. And on May 31, 1561, he died. He hung. That's what it cost to write that. But he writes, God is the overflowing fountain of all good. You know that little poem, we are coming to a king. great petitions therefore bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live. And he says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may have life. Why? That I may keep your word. He's not saying, give me life that I may be rich, that I may have a long life, that I may be happy. No, he says, that I may keep your word. That word was precious to him. He loved that word of God. We can live and die with that word. That word is precious and powerful. And then he goes on with the second, and Jesus, of course, is the answer to that. Jesus says, I am the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. He that believes on me shall have life and have it abundantly. You remember how he says that in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. I know my sheep and call them by name, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So Jesus is the one who answers this prayer. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live, and Jesus says, I am the life. You come to me and I will give you life, not only for this time, but for all eternity. And what a wonderful thing this the elders and deacons told me this morning about Sue Vermeeris, who was here last Sunday and who yesterday fell and died and immediately was translated into God's presence. She had life, but now she has an abundance. Now a life full, a life in God's presence, such as eye hath not seen or ear heard, nor even entered into the heart of man, there to praise God forever. What a wonderful translation it is. No wonder Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So Jesus is the answer to that prayer. The second prayer is, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. It's a prayer for truth. It's a prayer for light. Jesus is also the answer to that. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law, that we may see the wonder of it all. You know that song of George Beverly Shea? Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of sunrise and sunset. But the wonder of it all is that God loves me. That's the wonder of it all. How can it be? How can it be that thou, a pure and holy God, should look upon me and you? But it is grace, all of grace, wondrous grace. Open my eyes, says the psalmist, that I may see, that I may behold, that I may know it, that I may know the beauty and the wonders of your grace. That word wonder is a beautiful word, really. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we read, "And for to us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonder, Wonderful. He is full of wonder. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." But the wonder of it all, the wonder of creation, that God out of nothing made this entire universe. The wonder of revelation, that we have in our hands what is God breathed, what God breathed out in servants of his wrote. We have it in our hands. It's a wonder. It's a wonder that God, who is infinitely loving, should love us. and that before the foundation of the world, there was a covenant made between the Father and the Son that the Lord Jesus, the Son, would go into this world and die for man and pay the price of sin. That covenant was made between the Father and the Son. The wonder of it all. Why should God love us so much? You know, John Newton, the slave trader, whose life was terrible, came to know Christ, and he wrote a song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He could not get over it that God would have mercy upon him, or that God has mercy on us. "Open my eyes that I may see, that I may behold the wonders." When Paul writes about the love of God, and he does in many ways, in many places, in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, it's a beautiful prayer, that we may with all the saints see and understand and comprehend the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. The love of Christ surpasses knowledge. That's a wonder. And then in Philippians chapter 4, he says, Paul writes, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." That's a wonder. It passes understanding. "Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wonders of your law." Now Jesus says, "I am the truth. I am not only the life, but I'm the truth. And I am in one person, the everlasting God and real righteous man. And I will open your eyes that you may see the wonders of it all." Do you grasp something of that? The wonder, the wonders of God's mercy, love, power, compassion. It is wonderful. It is marvelous. This past Friday, I was privileged to speak at the Zion Christian School. And a couple of the children here greeted me this morning, and they remembered that I was their chapel speaker Friday morning. And that's such a beautiful thing, to hear them sing. Honestly, I love to speak at their chapel. Those kids, they just sing those great songs that we love. They're beautiful kids. They listen so attentively. And you know how important it is to have a good education, either home, school, but by Christians who grasp something of the wonder of God's revelation and pass it on to the children, that they too can marvel at who God is, how great thou art. So Jesus is the answer to that prayer. "Open my eyes." He says, "I am the truth." And then the third thing is, the psalmist says, "I'm a stranger here. I'm a pilgrim, and I need guidance. I've got to know which way is right." The psalmist says, "I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." Now that word "stranger" is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're strangers on this earth. This world is not our home, like I mentioned. It was the slaves during the days of slavery that sang that song. They really felt it. They really felt that they were not part of this world. They were slaves. So they sang, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." You know, that's true for all of us. Sue Vermeeris received her treasure now. She's in glory. You remember how Peter says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has given us new birth unto an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God unto that great day. Open my eyes that I may see. Give me life that I may experience it. Lord, I'm a stranger. Guide me. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." We're going to sing that presently. We are strangers. The Lord wants to show us the way. And Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the way." Moses said, "He is the way." Other prophets said, "He is the way." Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." And you remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the people heard him gladly because he spoke not as the scribes, but he spoke with authority. And then Jesus said, "You want to know the way? Here it is. He that hears my sayings and does them is like a man who builds his house upon the rock. And the winds came and the floods came and beat upon that house, but it didn't fall because it was built upon a rock." You know what? He that hears my sayings and does them is like the man who builds his house upon the rock. But then Jesus immediately says, "But he who hears my sayings and does not do them." You see, both the groups heard his sayings. The one heard and did it, the other heard and did not do it. The one who did not do it was like a man who built his house upon the sand. And the winds came and the floods came and beat upon that house and it fell. You know what the storms are? The storms are the affairs of life. Sickness, disease, accident, poor, poverty, whatever troubles that come in your life, everybody has them. Every house has a cross to bear. And Jesus said, when those troubles come, for those who heard my sayings and does them, they are like a house built upon the rock, and they go through life amidst all the trials and troubles, but they stand because they're built upon a rock. But the person who hears my sayings and doesn't do them, it's like a man who builds his house upon the sand, and all those same troubles come, and the house falls, and great shall be the fall thereof. So the psalmist prays, "Lord, give me life." Jesus says, "I am the life." The psalmist says, "Give me truth." Jesus says, "I am the truth." The psalmist says, "Show me the way." Jesus says, "I am the way. He that follows me shall have life and shall have it abundantly. And he shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." What a wonderful answer to this prayer of the pilgrim. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." What a wonderful truth. That's the prayer of the psalmist, and Jesus is the answer. And every church and every preacher that preaches Christ will preach that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what we got to follow. And we will have life and have it abundantly. God is so good. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are the overflowing fountain of all good. Bless this word unto our hearts. We thank you that Jesus is the answer to the prayer of the psalmist. Hear us, we pray. Bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.